I'm Richard van den Berg.
And I'm Duncan MacLeod.
This is Talk Central, episode 178 for the weekend starting 2 June 2017.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, the home of South Africa's best technology journalism.
On Talk Central this week, restructuring looming at Telkom.
Also this week, Cell C's new tariff plans, iFlix unveils Africa launch plans and SA isn't included in the first round. Intel announces the new Core i9, yes you heard that right, Core i9 processor.
More power.
Andy Rubin's smartphone. And we're very excited to announce Tech Central is getting a fresh new look.
Oh, well, I can't wait.
We'll tell you all about it.
Time to press the turbo boost button on another podcast.
Well, welcome to the show. How's it, Rafa?
How's it, Duncan?
Let's dive straight in with our quiz.
And the first question this week, as you know, Intel has launched a brand new processor, the Core i9, that has how many processing cores?
Which is South Africa's most connected province in terms of telecommunications, according to a new study by Statistics South Africa?
The third question, Andy Rubin, the man who created Android, has built an Android phone. What is it called?
Fourth question, which airline's IT systems crashed last weekend, causing massive disruption for travelers? Mm.
And the last question, which African country this week switched off the internet, allegedly to stop school exams from being leaked?
What a joke. Anyway, we'll get to those answers at the end of the show. But let's jump straight in with the news. And there's lots to talk about this week.
Cell C back in it, eh?
Cell C, Telkom, iFlix, Intel, Andy Rubin and Tech Central's redesign, all on the cards this morning. But let's talk about Telkom first. And Bloomberg running a story yesterday saying that there's going to be a big shakeup at Telkom. They're announcing results on Monday, so I would expect that if there is an announcement, it will happen at those results. Mm. The suggestion that they're going to be split into four operating companies with a holding company at the top, headed by Sipho Maseko, and four retail units, some of which may then be sold off, some of which may be listed on the stock exchange separately. In fact, the talk is that Business Connection, which they bought 2 years ago for 2.7 billion rand, may be refloated on the stock market as a separate listed entity. Obviously, they've merged Telkom Business into that company, but the talk is that may be on the cards. So they're talking about a retail operation offering landline, wireless, and internet services, as well as IT services, wholesale, broadband, and real estate divisions, I beg your pardon. So it's basically consumer, wholesale, business, and real estate as separate entities.
That's very interesting. I wonder why they would do that. That doesn't seem to be a very wise move at this point in the company's...
I don't know. We'd have to find out some more detail, and presumably there's going to be detail announced on Monday, but... They're saying they're creating, I'm quoting Maseko here, creating more focused business units as well as a more lean and fit for purpose strategic corporate center. While there are no current plans to list any of the businesses, that could be a consideration in the future. Mm. I think what they're doing here is they're trying to unlock value for shareholders. Mm.
So it's not about the customer, though. It's about the guys making the money.
Probably.
Okay, therein lies my point.
Okay. But we'll find out more on Monday about what it actually means, assuming this is happening, and what it means for you and me, if anything, at the end of the day.
Well, not so much us anymore, because we're not really Telkom subscribers. You still use their cell phone.
I'm on their cell phone division, but I no longer have a Telkom landline. You're completely extricated from Telkom, are you?
Yeah, they still actually have a cable coming into my house. I don't know how I can get rid of it, but that's the only connection I have to Telkom.
Piece of copper.
Yeah, piece
of copper. You could melt it down and turn it into a little trinket or something.
Maybe I should.
And sell it at the robots like everyone else does.
Should I cut it with a pair of scissors or not? I don't want to mess everybody else up in the neighborhood.
Yeah. So. Technically, I don't think you're allowed to touch that piece of cable.
Yeah, that's why I haven't attempted any of these things I've been breaking.
In theory, if you snip it off, I think that you could be arrested.
Mm-hmm, probably.
I think so.
Look, I'm one for backup, so it's good to have that ever there's a need for it again.
Yes.
But we'll see.
I remember when dealing with the fiber guys at home, we had both OpenServe and Vumatel in our housing estate, and Vumatel, I was chatting to the OpenServe guys, and I suggested, Vumatel's coming in here, why don't they just lease your ducts and put their... And he said, under no circumstances is that going to happen. If Vumatel puts their fiber through our ducts, we're going to cut it off.
Oh, really? There's so much animosity. And the end result is they're digging up your pavement three or four times over the span of 2 years. Yeah, oh well. And now we've got gas coming to some neighborhoods too, apparently.
We have what, sorry?
There's gas, like piped.
Oh, really?
Gas. Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Busy digging up the road in Malabongwe.
Oh, interesting.
So look out for another spade of this. Apparently, Vumatel is following the guys around where they break the lines, they have to fix them immediately. So at least the service is good.
Yeah, interesting gas. I mean, that's. Yeah, you cut through that, you've got a potentially much bigger problem than cutting through.
Yeah, no, but those pipes are big. Eh? I saw them on the side of the road.
Okay, interesting. Is it for a sort of mainline gas, or is it the plan to deploy gas into people's homes?
I believe they're piping gas through to from the side of Randburg through to the other side down Rivonia. Bottom of Jan Smuts. Bottom of Jan Smuts.
So it's like a feeder
up to Hyde Park, kind of that area.
Oh.
They want to do the high pressure first, and then I think after that they said they will look at, obviously, then feeding off lines for household use.
Interesting,
yeah.
I always wonder why they haven't plugged a gas mains pipe into Parliament and just channeled all the hot air out of there.
That's pretty natural gas.
Business plan.
Elon Musk, if you're listening, we patented that idea first.
Yeah, send your boring machine in. So Telkom's results are out on Monday. It's a full year to the end of March, I think it is. So we'll be looking at how they're doing. I'm expecting the fixed line numbers to be poor again. I think we'll see a continued decline in the number of fixed lines in service. It'll be very interesting to see what the broadband numbers look like, particularly as the fibre gets rolled out. I'm expecting that we're going to start seeing a proper decline for the first time in the number of ADSL users. Because we will have just seen a switch to fibre over the last 6 months, and I think that number's going to start coming down. And I think we'll have the other one will be their mobile division, and to see how well they're doing, especially after the launch in the middle of last year of the FreeMe plans.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have the first full 6 months of that worked into the system, over 6 months. I think they introduced them in June last year. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the numbers there have climbed and what it's done for their profitability and their revenues. We'll know all that. Publishing, their results are out at 7 a.m. on SENS on Monday morning, and there's a presentation late morning. So we'll be keeping
a close eye. I'll be there.
I can see the excitement. We'll bring all that coverage on Tech Central on Monday, but it's going to be a particularly interesting set of results, I think, from Telkom, especially with the speculation now that Telkom is planning to announce some sort of major restructuring as well. So it's going to be a busy news day Monday. Cell C is also in the news this week, and they're introducing tariff plans that look to me like a response to FreeMe. They are announcing new plans. They're called Contractor, I think. Connector, I beg your pardon. Cell C Connector, and these are high usage contract plans. They range in price from 499 Rand a month up to 1,499 Rand a month, offering on the high-end package 3,000 minutes of any network airtime. I don't know how you'd actually
that's
use 3,000 minutes. Yeah, that's a heck of a lot of voice minutes. And I suspect that Cell C's priced these on the assumption that there'll be a lot of breakage here and that people won't actually use all of those voice minutes. So each of the plans comes with 1,000 SMSs. The top-end plan, the 1499 one, comes with 50 gigabytes of data. And if you sign up by the end of June, you get 100 gigabytes of data a month.
Sure, that's not bad.
That is one heck of a lot of data on your mobile. Most people don't need that. But I suppose if you don't have a fixed line at home, you could tether and...
if you've got a good LTE connection, could work very well in your favor.
Could work nicely, yeah. So a couple of plans here. The entry-level one is 499 Rand a month called Connector One, and that offers 1,000 anytime network minutes. So even on that basis, it's a very good voice deal. And I think what we're seeing here is voice is becoming a real commodity. These plans, these operators are realizing that people are buying plans based on data, not on voice anymore.
Yes.
They're looking for a lot of data, and they're looking for free voice on top of that. And Telkom pioneered that with the FreeMe plans, and I think this is... Well, it doesn't quite match the FreeMe plans. I think it does a lot of what the FreeMe plans try and do. So they've got Connector One, which offers 1,000 anytime, any network minutes, and 3 gigabytes of data, which is a bit piddling.
Mm-hmm.
But I suppose if you're coming from one of the bigger operators, it's probably fairly generous. And you get 3 gigabytes of additional data if you sign up by the end of June. Then there's Connector 2, which is 599, which is also 1,000 minutes, plus 5 gigabytes of data, plus 5 gigabytes on promotion. Connector 3, which is 799 Rand a month, which provides 2,000 minutes of voice calls and 10 gigabytes of data, plus 10 gigabytes on promotion. And then there's connector 4, which is the same as connector 3, but has 20 gigabytes of data plus 20 gigabytes on promotion. So that connector 4 is $9.99 a month. And that offers the same amount of data. If you exclude the promotional data, the double data, that offers the same as Telkom is offering on their freemi 20 gig plan, which is R5.99 a month. So the pricing still looks a bit pricier, although if you take advantage of the double data promotion until the end of June, then obviously you're scoring in a big way. So on the R7.99 a month, you're getting 10 gig plus 10 gig if you take up the promotion, which is the same as you're getting on freemi 20 gig for R5.99. So the Telkom offerings are still cheaper, but Cell C, I guess, has a wider network than Telkom does. Cell C's coverage, I believe, in Gauteng particularly is very good now. I'm not a user of their network, but of their mobile network anyway. But I believe that Gauteng Cell C coverage is fantastic, whereas a couple of years ago it was pretty dire.
Yeah, yeah.
But if you go out of the cities, you know, there is some Cell C coverage, but like Telkom, you're inevitably going to be roaming. Not on Telkom, you roam obviously on MTN. On Cell C, you're going to roam on Vodacom. And in both instances, you're roaming on those companies' 3G networks. So if you need 4G LTE when you're out of the cities, these plans
probably
aren't really, probably not for you. Although I know that Cell C, and we've run a story on this previously, I know that Cell C is in negotiations with Vodacom to extend roaming to 4G LTE, which would make the Cell C offerings, I think, a lot more compelling.
Yes.
I spoke to Cell C CEO Jose Dos Santos about that about 3 months ago, so I should follow up and find out what's happening with that roaming, because then if they're going to strike a deal, they must have done it by now, surely.
Yeah, definitely. Look, I think this is a good way to keep customers on your network from, especially from going to the, you know, to the rival. And maybe for city stickers and business people, I can see a lot of value in the extra minutes, the voice minutes with a bit of data, you know?
I suppose if you're a
road warriors.
If you're a road warrior salesman or something, you need a lot of voice minutes, it makes sense. But I think for most people, I mean, I don't know about you, Rachot, but I make a heck of a lot less phone calls or fewer phone calls than I used to.
I've recently started making a few more simply because I've just found it's a much better way of communication sometimes as opposed to mailing. But that was a conscious decision. But yes, I don't generally phone people. It's always mails and messages. Everybody seems to be quite happy to receive a WhatsApp, even in a business environment. Yes. So it's quite interesting, you know. Yeah. Everybody's happy to be, and I'm quite happy to just text somebody either just with a quick question or, you know, do you want to chat later type of thing. Those boundaries of phoning somebody, I always feel awkward, you know. Yeah. Do I phone them on their cell phone? You know, are they busy or not? I guess, you know, if you carry your phone, it's fine, but
I do it as well, especially with WhatsApp on desktop now. I keep a window for WhatsApp open in the corner, and, you know, instead of phoning someone 90% of the time, I just send them a quick WhatsApp. You know, you phone them, they can't answer, they're in a meeting. Mm-hmm. So just WhatsApp them if it's just a question you need to ask quickly, and they can respond to you when they have a moment. Or if they're in a meeting, they'll probably respond to you while they're still in the meeting.
We're in the future. We all got communication devices. We don't have to use our voices. I love it.
No, it's pretty cool. And I get a lot of phone calls and make a lot of phone calls now through WhatsApp.
I receive a lot of WhatsApp calls. I don't like it because it's still patchy at points.
It is. Although, my father phones me a lot on WhatsApp, actually, and he calls me on from a fixed line broadband connection at home. I'm usually at home when he calls on fiber, and the call quality is fantastic. It's better than the cellular network.
Okay.
So I guess it depends on the use scenario.
Maybe I'm getting a lot of calls from people that are using their mobile, like 3G LTE connections, that could potentially play a part in it.
Possibly, yeah. I mean, you've got to have a good signal and ideally a good 4G, not a 3G.
It's not always been bad. It's just, I don't have the mindset yet of using that as my calling platform.
Yes.
I've got so many minutes in any case. I might as well use them. Save my data for something else.
Yeah. It's true. I mean, on this freemi plan, you actually get free 2 gigs a month of free WhatsApp. So you place a WhatsApp call, you're not paying for any. You're not even using
it. It becomes more difficult to spend your data.
You're not even using your data, yeah. It's actually becoming challenging. It is actually challenging with some of these plans to use your monthly data allocation.
I was actually considering dropping my data package. I'm with Afrios on MTN and just dropping my data allocation because I'm not using 5 gigs a month anymore.
Yeah.
I used to burn through it.
Yes.
I was fiber at home on the Wi-Fi. It's still plenty.
Yeah. I like having a large mobile data allocation because it means I don't have to think about what I'm doing. I can just fire up a YouTube video wherever I am and I can watch it. I can listen to streaming music in my car without giving it a second's thought. Mm-hmm. Google Photos, I upload my pictures the moment I take them. I don't wait for until I'm home in a Wi-Fi hotspot or in the office in a high Wi-Fi hotspot. It uploads them immediately so that they're backed up. If someone steals my phone, my photos, I don't lose any photos. And you can do that with a large data mobile data allocation. It actually frees you. It changes the way you use your phone. I don't even think about what I'm doing on my phone. If I want to watch a video, a half-hour video on Netflix on my phone, I'll do it.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. But even doing all of those things, I still find myself using those data, which is fantastic.
Yeah, and it's true. I don't switch off, even though I've got all this mobile data allocation, even though I have a 4G plus or LTE advanced connection on my phone at home from the local tower, I still connect to the fiber because it's faster.
And also, there's we weren't spoiled for many years. We were really it's been such a thing that's so long coming. We love our fiber connections. You want to utilize it and make sure it's loved and it's being used.
Are you still doing speed tests on yours all the time?
All the time.
It's like, oh, I wonder how fast it is today. Let's test it.
Look, I consider it as providing data to the speed test guys so they can always know what the best connections are.
You just enjoy doing it.
Oh, also do it at the office with a 100-100 connection. And,
yes.
But also it's a useful tool if you need to know if something's down or, you know, why is it so slow? Oh, it's a server, not not your connection, you know.
Anyway, it's great to see Cell C bringing out these new tariff plans. They are aggressively priced, perhaps not quite as aggressively priced as Telkom's plans, but there we go. They are, I would argue, a lot cheaper than what you get from the big red one and the big yellow one. And hopefully it'll force those companies to come up with some more interesting tariff plans. I did notice, I was on the Vodacom website the other day, I noticed they have a data-led plan now for $4.99 a month, which I think gives you 10 gig of data. I could be wrong, so don't quote me on this, but there was definitely a data-led plan. I thought, wow, that's very affordable.
Nice. I'm still amazed, though, that these companies are still fighting on the price war, but none of them are really come on board, and we've spoken about this before, come on board with a good back-end solution for you to manage your data, your calls.
Yeah.
Make it easy for me to, maybe they're not going to make as much money, but make it easy for me to manage my data and my audio minutes. Let me auto-top up when I need to so I can run a tighter ship around myself.
Like
every
host account.
Yeah, yeah. Because it works so well. I mean, these other guys obviously have much bigger budgets to build stuff like this. Maybe their systems are just a bit big for the integration.
Yeah,
but
maybe.
Just give us good back-end access to manage our accounts.
It's also in the interest for you for you to go out of bundle, of course.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. But come on, guys, we're living in the year 2017.
But you're right about it. You're right about AfriHost. They've done a very good job with their with that back-end, and I think the big operators can learn something from them.
Yeah, I mean, I use it all the time to for my second SIM cards, and one of my wife uses, manage the data very easily when it runs out, auto top-ups.
Yeah.
We get notified. She can even do it when she needs to without going to a bank and then transferring data to your phone number like you would normally do. Yeah, love to see that anyway.
So let's move along. iFlix, you'll remember them. I think we spoke about them on this podcast some time ago. They're, I think they started in Southeast Asia, Malaysia or Singapore, one of those countries, as a video on demand competitor to Netflix.
Yes,
and they recently expanded into the Middle East and into Africa. In fact, we broke that story I think earlier this year. About their plans to expand into sub-Saharan Africa and the markets they were looking at, etc. Now, they've provided some more detail about their expansion plans. We've known for a while that they're going to set up their African head office in Cape Town, but they now announced the markets that they're first going to launch services in, and it really looks like it's going to be a mobile-first offering rather than a traditional Netflix TV or tablet type of or PC type of offering, which makes sense. You know, given the mass of the market in these countries in Africa, will be consuming this via mobile. So the markets they've chosen are Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tanzania, and Zimbabwe. They'll be launching in those markets within the next couple of months. In fact, by the end of the third quarter, which would peg it at September, August. Yeah, August. So within the next 3 months. And interesting that they're going for these markets. You know, Nigeria and Kenya, I can understand. Ghana and Tanzania, perhaps I could understand as well. But Zimbabwe, really? Okay. I wouldn't have thought that would be a launch market ahead of South Africa. But yeah, interesting one. This will take their footprint to 23 territories worldwide. They're promising local content, regional programming, as well as an extension, I'm reading here, an extensive rather collection of highly acclaimed African shows and movies with iFlix Africa planning to introduce exclusive African content series.
Interesting.
I haven't provided any detail about what that content is and who they've commissioned, etc., but I'm sure we'll find out closer to the launch. But yeah, interesting choice of markets. So not coming to South Africa yet. They have said they will launch in South Africa at some point, though. The question is why not first? We can only speculate, but I imagine that what they want to do in South Africa is more akin to what Netflix and Showmax are doing here, whereas what they're doing in these other markets is more of a mobile-first offering.
I don't think South Africa is strong enough on that yet because we've got those other offerings in any case, over and above the TV or desktop.
So my guess is that South Africa is going to get a desktop or TV-led offering. And that's going to take a bit of more time to develop. Although I'd imagine that they have those platforms already for the Middle East and Asian markets. So I don't know, maybe it's something else. But it's good to have another player in the space. It's good to have another player in the space. And
especially one that focuses on Africa for African content, I think. Because the bigger guys won't, Netflix won't, I don't think, not yet commission African content.
Showmax has got South African content. Yep. And I think they're doing some work in Kenya as well on Kenyan content. It's certainly not widespread. It's not widespread content yet. And certainly Netflix, while they are developing local content in markets in Europe, there's no sign of them doing that in South Africa yet or anywhere in Africa. I think the market's very competitive and people are testing different models and seeing what works. And I guess this is iFlix saying, maybe the bigger opportunity here is not to take on Netflix in South Africa, but maybe to try and break some fresh ground in greenfields stuff in the rest of Africa using mobile. They're going to have to work with mobile operators though if they want this to be successful, because your ordinary user can't afford to stream data out of their bundle. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, unless they've got strategies or plans for low resolution streaming,
I'm sure
streaming
they do. I'm sure they do.
Adapting to low bandwidth.
I'm sure they do, but still, consumers, if you're paying by the megabyte, you're going to be watching video for fun of it.
Wi-Fi download option, maybe?
Yeah, that'll probably be there as well. But
in
many of these markets, Wi-Fi, is quite inaccessible. It tends to be in corporate environments or maybe an internet cafe, but many of the people in these markets may be far from those locations. It's an interesting one, but we'll know closer to the launch, which is going to be quite soon now. So Nigeria, Ghana, Kenya, Tanzania, and Zimbabwe, and that's iFlix.
Interesting.
Right, we need to take a break. We'll be back right after this.
Honey, why can't I download any more series?
Dad, my game just bombed.
Daddy, I was speaking to Kevin and my call just cut out.
With uncapped Vox fiber to the home, reaching your cap is a thing of the past. You can have all your devices connected all the time. Get unlimited browsing, unlimited calling, and unlimited entertainment. Vox fiber, now uncapped. T's and C's apply. For more information, visit vox.co.za.
Welcome back to Talk Central. How's it, Richard?
How's it, Duncan?
So Intel at Computex in Taipei this week making some really interesting announcements, probably the most exciting announcements I've seen in the processor world in quite a few years.
Yes.
And a bunch of new desktop processors they've announced, including a Core i9. Now, you've had a look at this announcement and what's coming. Give us a bit of detail.
Yeah. Oh, CPUs. When last were you excited about the processor in your computer?
Not for a long time, man.
I remember the days of writing about Pentium 4 and the Celeron processors when they just came out.
When they really mattered, actually.
Yeah, when they actually were groundbreaking. Mm. I mean, it's kind of laughable how far we've come, actually. But
yeah, now the most important thing we think about when we buy a processor is which generation processor is it, because we want to save battery life.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not about the processing power; it's about how much battery they chew.
Exactly. So, I mean, it seems that Intel is kind of readying itself for another wave of being the CPU maker on planet Earth with the new Core X range, and more specifically focusing on the Core i9, which is a new high-end CPU. Now, if you know anything about CPUs, I won't bore you too much with all the technical jargon, but most computers these days have 8 4 to 8 cores.
Yes.
You know, processing, video editing, streaming, all those things. Only 4 cores to 8 cores.
They're like, in essence, having 4 processors.
Exactly.
On one chip,
right? So it's like 8 processors, a stream of processing power.
Yeah. If we go back, and Rechot, you know more about the subject than I do, but if we go back to the 1990s and the 2000s, what Intel and its competitors like AMD were doing, where they were putting up the clock cycles on these chips and they were making them faster and faster and faster and faster. And everyone focused on the megahertz and the gigahertz of these processors. Something changed about 10 years ago, and then the focus shifted to how many cores these processors had rather than the clock speed.
Intel, it was more than 10 years actually, but Intel launched hyper-threading. I think it's still called hyper-threading, but I think they launched it with the hyper-threading. Okay. That essentially was the concept of having multiple cores within one CPU, and it was groundbreaking. Yeah. I remember writing that article clearly. I still have a copy of it, and I was blown away. This is the kind of thing now all of a sudden I can do video editing and do something, listen to music without having glitches, you know?
Yeah.
It was a crazy combination of power that was available to us. But for a long time, that's gotten a bit stale. I mean, we've got Core i7 now, MacBook, PC all run, you know, these beautiful high-end processors, but the demands have also changed. We haven't really had, apart from video editors, you really need more power and more memory at their disposal, fastest hard drives. The demands hasn't really required us to have more than the Core i7 that we have now with 2 or 3 gigahertz processing power and 16 gigs of RAM.
And if you're a gamer, you haven't really focused on the processor. I mean, you've bought a high-end processor.
But your graphics card would have taken over more of that.
Much more important to have a high-end graphics card.
Exactly. Mm. With the recent kind of the wave of augmented reality and virtual reality, we now finding, okay, there's a lot more power that we need to utilize to actually produce this effect that we want. Having said that, also we're finding a lot of guys producing content for YouTube, so live streaming, Twitch guys recording a game that they're playing, live streaming it, and then interacting with their fans. I mean, you need a lot of processing power to manage all of that stuff. I mean, you know what you can do with a piece of software now that you needed a soundboard before in terms of editing audio. So now Intel has launched these new range of core processors. But the high-end one, and this is where the real exciting part is, the high-end Core i9 has got 18 processors. 18 cores. There was a dramatic pause there. But they've got 18 cores. Now, imagine having a 2 or 3 or 4 gigahertz processor times 18 to run. You can run a full-on broadcast studio now with multiple inputs and outputs if you have the right, obvious connection box.
Yeah.
And your computer can actually handle it. And you can probably put that processor in your notebook very soon. It's very exciting stuff. I mean, obviously, the augmented reality is really where it's going to be meta.
Yeah.
But for us normal people who won't be able to afford those technologies for a while,
yeah,
the fact that the power is finally catching up to what we can do with software, whether it's video editing, whether it's graphic developing visuals on any of the Adobe tools, cores are going to matter a lot more.
It's clever naming as well, I thought, by Intel, because you've got the Core i3, which is their basic entry-level chip, which you don't really want to use if you can avoid it.
Yeah.
Then there's the Core i5, which is sort of the mainstream computing chip, middle of the road, reasonable performance at a good price. Then you've got the Core i7, which is more for the enthusiasts and the people who need processing power.
Yeah.
If you want a really fast machine, then you'll go for a Core i7. So now they've introduced the Core i9, which signals to the market this is something beyond that. This is something for high-end gamers. This is for next-generation applications like VR and AR. Yes. This is for maybe engineers and people like that, who architects who really need that sort of high-end processing power. And it's going to be priced accordingly.
Yeah, you're not going to be putting it in your computer just yet, I think. $2,000?
You say that, but I think there are going to be a lot of gamers out there who are going to buy this. It's going to be...
I think there's not going to be a shortage of people who want to buy this, that's for sure, but early adopters generally are those kind of people. For the mainstream,
we'll spend definitely it's going to be...
This stuff will come down quickly. I mean,
how
quickly processes churn.
Yeah.
I can't wait to have a notebook with this kind of power.
So if you want to jump in early, you can get the Core i9 Extreme for a recommended, I think it was $2,600 or $2,700 US. That's just for the chip, not for the whole computer. So you're looking at about 35, 36, 37,000 Rand for the chip, for the Extreme.
And then you're probably going to go for a high-end graphics card to obviously accompany it.
That's going
to
be another 15 grand.
Memory.
Yeah. No, you could probably spend a good you probably get close to six digits if you want to build a real rig with this stuff. But yeah, it's not going to be cheap. Of course, most people don't need the Core i9 Extreme.
No, they won't. But I mean, this is going to unlock so much for so many people who need that power. You obviously need to upgrade your power supply, most likely, if you haven't done so recently, to accommodate the.
Is it quite power?
It'll probably be a lot more power hungry. I think just looking at the specs here, I can't find it here, but I would imagine. The Core i7 is not the Core i9, but the others are 140 watts. So yeah, they.
Yeah. But as you say, someone will put this into a laptop.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what it's going to really.
Probably have a high-end gaming laptop. You know, one of those gaming laptops that what's that gaming brand that Dell owns? Alienware.
Oh yes, yes.
I'm sure that sort of brand will be quite.
I mean, this processor would be clever enough to step down when it needs to and not use power. I don't know if they built this. They probably didn't build this for mobile, but I don't think they would have built it without mobile in mind.
Yeah, indeed. Although you just know you're going to need all those processing cores next time you fire up Minesweeper.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. I can't wait. Minesweeper in AR, yes.
Indeed. Sticking with international tech news, Andy Rubin, who is the man who created Android, the most successful operating system ever, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe there's an embedded OS that's been more successful, but I can't think of one.
No, but let's be honest. I mean, Android has had such a huge impact.
Yeah.
You can claim that it's probably one of the most
bigger
most
than Windows. Bigger than Windows, which is quite something. So he has lots of excitement, therefore, that Andy Rubin went off and started his own company and has now developed and has. I mean, he announced this some time ago that he was going to be doing this, but has released a product called the Essential Phone. It's a bit of an arrogant name, I think, but it is a gorgeous-looking device, I have to say, but it's particularly in the Ocean Depths color option, which is basically a combination of a dark green and gold.
That's beautiful.
It's a beautiful phone. The screen looks amazing. It's edge-to-edge like the Samsung Galaxy S8, not curved as far as I can tell, but they built the screen around the front-facing camera, so the camera looks like it's part of the screen. The screen goes all the way to the top and wraps itself with a little U-shape around the camera. Amazing what they can do with screen technology these days. But it just looks gorgeous. Fingerprint scanner on the back, dual LED flash. The specs, it looks nice. And it comes with it's accompanied by, I should say, a device called the Essential Home, which is, I guess, like one of these Amazon Alexas or Echo, sorry, not Alexa.
Okay, Schmoogle.
Yes.
I wouldn't say the real word, just in case.
Google Home. And, of course, Apple is now rumored to be bringing out a Siri speaker as well to be announced at Worldwide Developer Conference later this month. But it's a nice-looking phone. It's only going to be available in the US to start with, unfortunately. Unfortunately, we are down here on the southern tip of Africa. We miss out again. I'm still waiting for one of these companies to bring one of their smart speakers to this market. It'd probably be Apple, actually. They do bring all their products here, so...
Well, once the servers are in, the data centers are up and running, then I'm sure we'll have those, right?
Apple's data centers.
Well, all of these. Amazon and the lot.
Yeah, I suspect that we won't be getting an Apple data center, but maybe they'll buy some space. Microsoft data centers.
What I'm excited about in Essential is the 360 camera.
Oh, yeah.
Just clips on the back. I don't know how functional it'll be, but... I mean, I'm a huge fan of the technology behind 360 photography and videography. I think it could be quite interesting, especially if they develop this as an in-house product.
Mm. Cool. That's the Essential Phone. So it's not coming here, so let's not spend too much time talking about it. If you want to see more, we do have a story up on Tech Central, and go have a look at the videos. They're quite cool as well. And the last item in the news section, if we can call it news, is that Tech Central is launching a new website. Very excited about this.
Oh, yeah.
It's been a while, actually, since we did a big redesign, and it's overdue that we did one. We're hoping to take it live this weekend. Maybe we may have to push it out to early next week, but it's basically ready to be unleashed on the world, and I'm very excited about it. It's a beautiful, clean
design. Looking gorgeous. Oh, wow.
It uses Retina images, and I think we're one of the first, if not the first, news website in South Africa to do that. So if you have a modern iPad or a modern Mac with Retina display or a PC with a high density display or a 4K monitor, etc., then this website is going to look absolutely gorgeous on your phone. We've done a lot of work to make sure that the site isn't too big either, even though we're using very detailed images. The load time is still going to be good, so if you're loading it on your mobile phone, we're not going to chow all your data. It'll load a lower resolution versions of those images on your phone. It's a gorgeous looking website, I have to say. I'm very very chuffed with it. Nick Burma has been doing a lot of great work behind the scenes to get the website ready and to do a lot of the coding behind it. Quite a lot of work has gone into it over the last little while. And I'm really looking forward to us taking it live. It may be as soon as tonight, Friday night, but let me not make any promises. We've still got a bit of work we need to do, so probably this weekend. If not this weekend, then early next week.
No pressure.
It'll be up really
We'll have a we'll have a beer and celebration afterwards.
Absolutely. I think I'm going to collapse on the floor when this is all done. But it's a fantastic website. We finally have a responsive site on Tech Central. I know a lot of our readers have complained about that in the past. We have taken too long to have a responsive site that's optimized for mobile devices. We now have it. So it looks gorgeous on desktop. It looks gorgeous on your smartphone. It looks gorgeous on your tablet. So let us know once it goes live what you think of it. Drop us some feedback. Tell us what you like, what you don't like. We'd love to get your feedback, especially if it's positive.
Oh, yes.
So quite excited about that. It's been keeping me quite busy in the last few weeks. and that wraps up our news section. Let's move on to our regular features. I think there is an obvious winner this week. The news in this country is getting increasingly depressing and worrying with reports of state capture and our president and the politics in this country and, just generally, and I don't want to dwell on it too much. But I think it's important to pick our winner this week, as we don't know who they were. And we probably never will know who they are, certainly not for a long time. Because if their name is revealed or their names are revealed, it could endanger their lives. We're talking here about the Gupta email leakers, the people who we don't know what happened. We don't know if their servers were hacked. We don't know if it was someone internal who leaked the information. But whoever it was, whether it was one party or more than one party, they're our winner this week. For leaking all this information to Amar Bongani, the Daily Maverick, and others. Apparently over 100 gigabytes of emails have been released, made available to these investigative journalists, who are now planning to put the entire repository online in a safe international destination. They haven't said who, but I think
I'll give them some space in my Dropbox account.
But Amar Bongani said they're working with an international entity to safely release these documents and ensure they're protected on an international server, so they'll be made available for everyone who wants to trawl through them and pick them apart. And there's a limited journalistic capacity to go through over 100 gigabytes of emails. I mean, that's a vast quantity of
massive
emails.
And hopefully leading to a lot of good things, getting rid of a lot of the bad apples.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is probably the most significant leak of information in this country's history.
And interesting to note that they're obviously following the WikiLeaks kind of Julian Assange style, Edward Snowden style way of releasing content, make sure it's in a safe place. Make sure you entrust the right journalists with it and then release it to the public.
Yeah. I mean, apparently the only reason it's come out now is apparently the Daily Maverick and their investigative unit, Scorpio, which is a newly created, and Amar Bongani have been sitting on this data trove for months. And they've been trying to figure out how to protect the sources. And then apparently what happened was a third party who they were discussing this with got access to some of the documents and then selectively leaked those documents to the Sunday Times and to City Press over the weekend without the knowledge of Amar Bongani, in the hope of influencing the ANC NEC meeting at the weekend where they were going to discuss the recall of Zuma. So now it's out in the open, but they're still hoping to protect their sources. It's a fascinating time in this country. It's a very very dangerous time in this country. Very worrying. Things can go either way right now.
people have got a lot to lose, and if they're backed into a corner, you never know what could happen.
Yeah, I mean, this is all coming out now. I mean, what should be happening in South Africa right now is the head of the police, the Hawks in effect, who's been compromised, should be standing up and saying, we are launching a full-scale investigation into state capture. The president at this point should stand up and say, I resign. He's said he's not going to. He should. I mean, the allegations are damning and comprehensive against him. He should resign. As a matter of principle, he should fall on his sword and say, there are these series of serious allegations against me. It is untenable that I continue in the position of president of South Africa, and I step down. He has no.
But if that was his character, he wouldn't have been into this place. He wouldn't have been in this position in the first place.
I guess so. But I mean, just reading through the weekend papers, looking at what the Business Day, what Daily Maverick and others have been publishing, Amabangani, over the last few days, it's hard to see how there aren't going to be a lot of people going to jail, including our president. You know, suggestions that he's bought a house in Dubai, that with the Guptas, that he's going to flee the country. I mean, this is the stuff of organized crime.
If our country really needs us now, that's for sure. Yeah. Needs us change.
Anyway, I'm on the verge of launching a 10-minute diatribe about politics. Let me avoid doing that since this is a tech podcast. And let's move on with our featured, winner and loser of the week. So our winner this week is the Gupta email leakers. Congratulations to them. And all the best of luck to the journalists who are at the front lines here, who are going to be reporting on this in the months ahead. And it's going to be a very tough time because there's going to be intimidation. You're dealing with some very crooked people here. I think in time, these people will fall and people will go to jail and the country will move on. But, until it happens, until there's a change in presidency, at least, it's dangerous times. If you're investigating this stuff, I mean, Zuma reportedly said at the weekend at the NEC that he said he apparently warned his colleagues in the NEC, don't press me, don't pressure me, otherwise you're going to see the real Zuma. You won't write like the real Zuma. I mean, this is the stuff of, banana republics, I want to say. But we have a strong press, we have a strong judiciary. The police have been compromised. The police should be investigating this, they're not. We used to have a strong public protector, we don't appear to have one anymore. It's actually up to the press and the judiciary to the opposition. I'm launching my diatribe when I said I wasn't going to. Let's move on. Our loser this week is British Airways for their IT disaster at the weekend, which caused global travel chaos. I would not like to have been at Heathrow Airport over the weekend. Apparently, someone switched off a key computer or computer center. And
somebody switched off the server.
Someone switched off the server, basically. And the backup didn't kick in. And we haven't seen the full story yet. But bad planning, from what I can see.
Cost them a few million.
Cost them, billion.
Pounds.
Pounds, probably. Billions, I would imagine. Reputational damage as well. Sets our easily our loser this weekend is British Airways. What's your pick this week, Richard?
So I'm a fan of apps. I'm a fan of music. I'm a fan of my Mac. And an app that I've been playing with a lot over the last few weeks is something called DJ Pro. Now, I'm sure you know a few friends that like to spin the decks or have spun the decks in their youth. You know, there's a lot of DJs out there. But what's DJ Pro is now taking all this big hardware that you needed. The CDJ type CD player or your mixing desks, and they've put it into some good software. Now, yes, there's a lot of mixing softwares out there, but DJ Pro works surprisingly well. For about 800 Rand, it's available on Mac, Windows, iPad, and iPhone.
So how much did you say?
800 bucks.
Okay.
This is just a software. You can use it as a full-on mixing suite like I do when I plug it into some nice speakers and I'm at home and I just play my music. Without having any controller hardware decks. But you can also plug in a controller deck. You can buy, there's a number of brands. Casio's got them, Technics has got them, Pioneer's got them. And plug in your hardware console and then basically turn your DJ software into your full normal mixer.
I was down here at that music shop here in Randburg the other day having a look at some of those.
Oh, they've got some nice stuff, yeah. Mm. Yeah. They've got the brands that you want. Techniques, the other one, skip my mind now. But DJ Pro, what's a nice piece of software? And the algorithms that they use to either speed up and keep your pitch, speed up your music, keep your pitch of the tune, it's really come such a long way from the last time I used software to mix music. You can even do video mixing, so it's got a module where you can video mix. You can mix up to 4 channels on the software, and you can, if you've got a Spotify account, you can actually stream your music directly from Spotify, which is fantastic. Oh, wow. Actually, so you can literally walk into a party and play any song in the world, even if you don't have it on your mixing desk.
So you can create your own little radio station at home.
You can, yeah.
Okay,
that's kind of where I'm going with it. Let's see. But that's why I'm playing with the software. But and there's a lot of effects built in. You can buy a lot of effects packs. It's really proper pro software that anybody can use.
Yes.
I've been very impressed with it. DJ Pro.
That's cool. That's
well
cool.
worth checking out. I haven't even shown it to you, but let me just.
Yeah, I know. I'm actually looking at it here.
Oh, you've got it there.
Yeah, you asked me the other day about Mixlr, which I came across. Have you tried that out as a method of broadcasting your own radio station?
Yes, I looked at it. I'm not quite there with what I'm trying to do yet.
Okay.
But when I do, I will definitely investigate. I've got it to my tabs, to must see, to look at. Mm. Live streaming is definitely where this is going.
Yeah.
You know, where any content is going.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I like the idea as well of spinning up a weekly radio show, just playing some music.
Beautiful.
It appeals to me, actually. I must spend the time investigating a little bit further. You know, the thing is, you know, how many listeners are you going to get at the end of the day?
You do it for the music more than, you know, to have something
like,
out there.
Like most radio DJs, you do it for the music.
I look at it as like creating a playlist, right? Yeah. I mean, a lot of us like creating a playlist with our music that we can give to somebody, like you used to put on a CD and give to somebody. And you tell us stories with your music. Having an online, maybe a radio show, 1 hour, 2 hour show. Yeah. You know, if you have 5 listeners or somebody listens to it on the way to work, I think it kind of reaches its goal. If you want to do that, if I can just add a pick B to this. If you want to host content like that, Mixcloud is where you should be going to.
Oh, yeah.
Now, SoundCloud has got its own set of issues at the moment. It may not be around for much longer. It's a great platform. I love it. But Mixcloud isn't as stringent on, I mean, it's a service a lot of DJs use, but they're not a start on the copyright. So if you use the music in something you create, like the DJ set or radio show or whatever, you can actually host it on there. So I'm still also investigating that, but it seems like a good platform to use if you want to create a radio show.
Mixcloud,
yeah.
Okay.
A lot of DJs and a lot of commercial
music.
And
is that live as well, or is that for putting like a podcast?
It's like a podcast, like a SoundCloud type service. I think they may have live services.
Okay.
But
There's
a lot of ways to go live, I think, if you're just having a microphone and mixing software like this. You don't need too many inputs and outputs.
Yeah. I mean, I'd love to do it. As you know, I'm a big fan of 70s progressive rock, which has actually got a big following online, and I'd love to do a, like on a Sunday night, you just sit down for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and you just play some good prog and have a chat about an album or something.
Oh, right. So what you can do with this, actually, so you've got a lot of pre-programmed buttons on there, so you can actually pre-program your stingers in, and when you're ready to do your, let's go to the news if you do that, or beginning of the show, end of the show, breaks in between, you can just push those buttons and they will obviously play the jingle for you. So it's all within the software. You can use it.
Mm. Cool. I'm just going to check that out. I'll go and have a look. So it's for Windows, Mac, and Linux, you said?
No, Windows, Mac, Windows iPhone, and iPad.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. My pick this week is a bit offbeat, actually. It's something called the Olixar Sticky Dashboard Mat. It's sounds odd, but it's very cool. It's possibly, I think.
Where did you get this? The Adult Store or...?
From the no, it's not that type of
that just sounded like something.
It's something you put on the dashboard of your car. It's got this. It's made of this clever material. I don't know what it is, but it's sticky. But it doesn't leave any sort of residue. You slap it onto your dashboard and it sticks. And then it's got 2 slots in it where you can put your smartphone, either leaning back or vertically oriented. So I put mine right behind my steering wheel, and if I'm navigating somewhere, I'll just put my smartphone in there and I'll navigate using Google
Maps. That's very cool. Very cool.
I mean, obviously you can get these fancy things that stick to your windscreen and that sort of thing, like people used to do with standalone GPS navigation devices. But it's quite a cool device, and it's got this really, I don't know how to describe it. It's like a sticky rubbery material, but it's not. It leaves no residue whatsoever. And you can throw your keys in there. You can throw coins in there. You can hurdle your car around a corner, and your keys and your coins will stay there. So it's quite cool. It costs $140. I bought one from Mobile Fun, za.mobilefun.com. They're an online cellular accessories retailer based in the UK, but they ship to South Africa. $140 seemed like a good investment to me, and I quite like it. It's the OLXR sticky dashboard mat for smartphones. So go check that out. And that, apart from our quiz results, is our show. Let's do those quiz results quickly. Our first question this week was, Intel has debuted a new processor, the Core i9, that has as many as how many processing cores? And the answer is 18.
Very legal now, that's for sure. Which is South Africa's most connected province in terms of telecommunications, according to a new study by Stats SA? The answer there, Western Cape.
They might not have any water, but they've got broadband. Our third question, Andy Rubin, the man who created Android, has built an Android phone. What's it called? And that's, of course, the Essential Phone.
The fourth question, which airline's IT system crashed last week, causing massive disruption for travelers? I'm so glad I wasn't traveling. And the answer there is British Airways.
And our last question this week, which African country this week switched off the internet, can you believe it, allegedly to stop school exams from being leaked? And that's Ethiopia.
Yeah, that's a bit of a...
What a fail.
Massive step.
What a fail. Anyway, can you imagine trying to run an internet business in that country?
No. Well, that is even possible. Imagine having the internet switched off. Yeah. Everything will come to a standstill.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't do our jobs.
ATMs will go down. Yeah. Banks will go down. Oh, it's ridiculous.
Anyway, that's our podcast this week. As always, if you've got any feedback, we'd love to hear from you. info@techcentral.co.za is our email address. Go check out the new Tech Central website. It might not be live this weekend. I'm hoping it is, but if it's not, then early next week it'll be there. And let us know what you think about that as well. Until next time, from Rechel and myself, cheers.
Ciao, ciao.